If you remember, our couple went on a date. Something went wrong with the date. They were telling each other how handsome and how beautiful and how wonderful. And if you remember, I told you, be careful when you go on a date and it's late and you pray together. Because something happens. Prayer is sexy. It's one of those things where you're looking at him and he's saying, "Dear Jesus, thank you." And your heart is just going, "He loves Jesus. Yes, he does." And then you're kind of holding hands because that's what you do when you pray. And then you're in the car in the front seat and he leans over like this and you've leaned over like this. And he goes, "In Jesus' name," and his lips just kind of come out just a little and your lips, and you can kind of feel the electricity that's happening between. Don't pray. Get out of the car. Call on the cell phone. Text a prayer. "Dear Jesus, so thankful we had a chance to be together." Here's the deal. This couple, they go out on a date and they get into a little problem. Would you look with me at verse chapter 2? We're going to look at verse 3. "Like an apple tree among the trees of the woods, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down in his shade with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. He brought me to the banquet." You can understand what's going on here, okay? She's tasting fruit. The whole deal's going on, okay? And so we've got this couple that have come together. They're sitting in a picnic area in the grass looking at trees, and she is in his shade. That's a problem. "He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. She says, 'Sustain me with cakes of raisins, refresh me with apples,'" which we talked about were considered to be aphrodisiacs at the time. So she's saying, "I am worked up. I am hormonally ready to go." So she says, "For I am lovesick." Now take a look. "His left hand is under my head, and his right hand embraces me." Somebody shout danger. Danger. No, see, the problem is you've done it before. That's why you don't want to say it. Okay? Once again, here we go. I'm going to do this. Okay, she's in his shade. What's going on here? Okay, a little bit louder to the men. Okay? I'd like to hear just a little bit louder. Okay, one more time. Left hand, right hand, in his shade.
Danger.
Very good. The ladies are like, "No, I kind of like that." No, here's the deal. Here's what happens. He says here in verse 7, "I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, by the gazelles or by the does of the field, don't stir awake in love until it pleases." We've got a problem in this premarital relationship. It's a lust problem. And the truth of the matter is, in a premarital relationship, there are going to be problems. There are going to be problems. Now, not during the honeymoon period. Oh, that's when he's so cute and so handsome. That's when she's so beautiful and everything she wears is just like, you should be a model for Macy's. I mean, you are just the most beautiful thing in the entire world. I was going to say Walmart, all right? Now, here's the deal. I shop there too. Because I don't shop at Target anymore. Now, here's the deal. So the understanding here is they're in this relationship and they've got some problems. Now, in the honeymoon portion of the relationship, well, I remember my wife and I, we got married. We went to Costa Rica. Now, I don't know what happens during the honeymoon, but her name is Andrea. But when people come back from honeymoons, all of a sudden they start giving themselves pet names like babies and sweeties. And I don't understand where pumpkin came from. I mean, why would you look at a man or woman and call them the vegetable pumpkin? You know, it's kind of, oh, pumpkin. You know, where did that one come from? Okay? That's a very large vegetable. It doesn't go over well in our culture, okay? So here's the deal. I remember when our honeymoon period ended. Andrea was lying down on the couch. She was having a dream, and she was kind of twitching a little bit here and there. And then all of a sudden, she wakes up yelling at me. She's in a full argument with me. Now, I'm in the kitchen. I'm sure I'm cooking dinner or doing something wonderful for her. And she wakes up, and she starts an argument. Well, here's what happened. In her dream, we were arguing. When she woke up, she just continued in the argument. And I looked at her and I said, well, I guess our honeymoon is actually over. And the reason why it's going to be over, we're sinners. And most problems, like our couple here, is caused by sin. Problems are going to come. And so don't you want someone who is spiritually mature that when the problems come, they will know how to handle it? Take a look at this guy. He says, I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, don't stir or awaken love. This guy is standing for godliness, and now he knows there's a spiritual problem in their relationship. Because instead of love, they've gone to lust. Take a look at Song of Solomon, chapter 2. Now we go on to verse 8. The voice of my beloved. She's speaking, and she says, behold, he comes, leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. My beloved is like a gazelle or a young stag. If you stop there for just a moment, you see this guy, he's made a godly decision. And the godly decision was, we're not going to have sex before marriage. I charge you. I'm letting you know, I've got to run away. I've got to get out of here. And that godly decision, there's no guilt and shame. Now, I don't know if you've woken up the morning after. And I don't know if you've been lying down and he's gone or she's gone. And you're in the shower going, what have I done? And instead of making the decision to say, don't stir or awaken love, you went the other way. And there's guilt and there's shame. Well, this godly guy, he made the decision, I'm not going that way. This godly guy, he made the decision, I'm going to go a different way. And even though I'm caught up in the heat of the moment and I'm recognizing we've got a problem, I'm going to go to my girlfriend and I'm going to talk to her about this problem. And he comes leaping and skipping because he's not in shame and guilt. This is a godly guy. And that is the effect of godly decisions. See, I looked at my bride. And when I was carrying her over the threshold, I said to her, you are the only woman in my life. I have waited my entire life for this moment. Listen, this guy made that kind of decision. He's a godly guy. And I want you to see the kind of godliness that he is. Because, gentlemen, listen, this is the kind of man that you need to become or you need to strengthen. And listen, ladies, this is the guy that you need to look for. Take a look at Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 8 again. My beloved's coming. He wants to solve this problem. He wants leaping over the mountains. And mountains in scripture, it means, it has a connotation that there are problems where Jesus says, say to the mountain, say to the problem, be removed. He's coming to solve a problem. And look how he comes. He comes like a gazelle or a young stag. Let me tell you about gazelles. I hunt them. When you see a gazelle, they have little sentinels that stand out amongst their little tribe or their little herd. And when those sentinels see you, within a matter of moments, they are miles away from you. This guy, if you're taking note, listen, number one, he wants to solve the problem quickly. And that's exactly what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5. Settle the issue with your adversary quickly. In fact, Paul goes on to say, don't let the sun go down on your anger. Godly men are not going to hold it. Godly men are going to deal with problems and going to deal with them quickly. But take a look at what he does here. He is looking through the windows, verse 9, gazing through the lattice. This guy realizes, I've got a lust problem. And instead of running to the bedroom of my girl, he chooses to wait outside behind the lattice because number two, if you're taking note, godly guy, you've got to establish healthy boundaries. See, Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Love exists in boundaries. And I don't know what your boundaries are, and I'm not going to be legalistic to say you can't kiss, you can't hold hands, you can't put your arm around. That's not what this is about. This is about you and Jesus making the decision as to what your healthy boundaries should be. Not only this, look at number 3. He says in verse 10, she says, my beloved spoke and said to me, rise up, my love, my fair one, come away, for lo, The winter's past. The rain is over and gone. See, this guy, he recognizes we got a problem. But this guy doesn't hold grudges. He doesn't keep it in. He doesn't get angry. He doesn't get furious. You see, let me tell you something, men. It's easy with your power and your strength to show that you are in control. But Jesus, he said this, I have the power to lay down my life. And let me tell you what that power meant. That power meant that he allowed his creation to put a crown of thorns on him and beat him. That power meant that he climbed up a hill, and instead of calling a legion of angels, he chose to be crucified. You see, power under control is meekness. And you can get angry, and you can get frustrated, and you can show her who's the boss. That's one type of power. But I think a greater power is when you can hold it, and instead of unleashing it, you have power that's under control. He doesn't hold a grudge. Going on, look at this fourth quality of this guy. The flowers appear on the earth. The time of singing has come, and the voice of the turtle dove is heard in our land. The fig tree puts forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grapes give a good smell. Rise up, my love, my fair one. Come away. He's pleading with this woman. We've got a problem. I want to solve this problem. Can you get up? Can you come out of bed? I'm not coming in there because I know what will happen if I go in there. I want you to rise up and come away because I want to start fresh. You see, this guy wants to go into the spring of the relationship because he believes in redemption. He's not holding it against her. He's not saying, you're wrong, and I can't believe, and you never do, and you always, and you better. No, this guy, he believes in the flowers. And let me tell you what a flower is. It's a dead thing that's come to life. It's a dead thing that's come to life. You see, he believes in the beauty of redemption. But not only that, not just a flower, but the fruit of a fig tree. You see, he believes that character is the fruit of problems. And so he wants to solve this problem because he wants to build the character, and he wants the fruit of the problem not to be division, but the fruit of the problem to be character. I'll never forget when Andre and I, we first got married, we bickered about this and bickered about this. And one time we were in the midst of this argument, and I'll never forget, I walked into the room and my wife was on her knees. Oh God, help my husband. No, that's not what she sounded like. Lord Jesus, I've sinned. Forgive me. How do you argue with a woman on her knees? And something happened in our relationship that day. Through our problem, the fruit of it was prayer. And that prayer began to change me. And that prayer began to change her. You see, he's one that believes in redemption. This godly guy, finally, if you look at verse 14, oh, my dove, in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the cliff, let me see your face. Let me hear your voice, for your voice is sweet and your face is lovely. This godly man, let me tell you something, he sees the best in his woman. He's not trying to change her. He's looking at her and he's finding the things that Jesus does. You see, this is just like Jesus. This godly man is Christ-like. That's what he is. Because when we go to heaven, here's what happens. We're going to go before the judgment seat of Christ. And it's going to be a wonderful experience when we pass through that judgment seat that Jesus will burn away the wood, the hay, and the stubble, the things in our Christian life that were no good, because he's looking for the gold and the diamonds and the precious rubies. He's only burning away the things that don't matter because he's looking for the positive and the wonderful of what we did. This is not a judgment that we feel bad and I can't believe I did those things. This is Jesus Christ pointing out all the wonderful things that we did in his name. This guy is like Jesus. You're looking at someone that has Christ-like qualities. And ladies, let me tell you something. If you're looking for a man, it shouldn't be just his ointments. It should be this kind of character. because problems are going to come. And you're going to want that kind of guy to be that kind of person when you face those kinds of problems. But I want you to see this godly woman. I want you to see what he sees in her. He says to her, listen, ladies, oh, my dove, she's gracious. See, a dove is a gracious bird. It always refers to this act of grace in the Bible. She's not legalistic. You better do this, and you better do that, and you're going to buy this from me, and you're going to make this happen. No, she's just filled with grace. When she walks in the room, she just shines of grace, so much so. Take a look in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the cliff. Paul reminds us in Colossians chapter 3 that our life is to be hidden in Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul reminds us again that Christ is the rock. You see, this woman decided to hide herself in Christ, where she is exuding Christ Jesus, and she's hidden herself away so that Jesus shines and she doesn't. Listen, godly woman, let me see your face. Let me hear your voice. This godly woman is pleasant. People just love to be around her. Listen, ladies, she's not loud and obnoxious. She's just, I want to hear your voice. I'd like to see your face. I just like to see you smile. It's like my daughters, when I came home from Africa and they just came and they hugged me, and it's just like I just wanted to hold and just see their face. It's just so beautiful. It's just so pleasant. This woman, the word of God says, for your voice is sweet. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Ladies, let me tell you something. The church has survived off of Bible-believing, Scripture-memorizing women. See, taste and see that the Lord is good. And out of this woman's mouth came Scripture. She memorized it. She was in it. She chose to live it because her voice was sweet. Ladies and gentlemen, listen, this is the lady you want to be looking for. And ladies, this is the lady you want to be. And your face is lovely. Now, this word lovely means beautiful. And she's beautiful. And let me tell you what is beautiful to God. A gentle and quiet spirit. A gentle and quiet spirit. I was with a lady and a husband several years ago, and I was discipling them, and they were in the midst of a problem, and she looked at me and she said this. She went this like this. Well, God didn't make me quiet. And the husband said, you see the problem? And I said to her, then I can say God didn't make me kind, because I'd like to yell at you right now. And the point is this. Our environment, our culture, it shapes and it molds. So what Jesus does is he comes in and he shines light and says, no, this is the way that I want you to be. And if you're not like this, well, that's my job. My job is to transform you into the image that I want to make you, not the one that you want to make. Now, this doesn't mean that ladies just walk around and they're just like this, because let me tell you something. I am married to a very strong woman. And anyone that knows her, she's raised 9 children. She's actually raised 10. I've been part of that tribe. You see, she has raised 9 children. She is a very strong woman. She has looked at child soldiers in the face and said, sit down. Let me tell you, she's a very strong woman. But you'll never walk in this church and say, where's Chet? I just want to know where he's at. He needs to get home and clean the dishes. It makes me laugh to even think about her coming down the aisle. I'd almost like her to do it right now, just so you can see. She would never even think about doing it because she's beautiful to God. You see, this is a godly woman, and she sounds a lot like the church. You see, the church is to be filled with grace and hidden in Christ. Well, this guy sounds a lot like Christ. She sounds a lot like the church. That's the beauty of the mystery, and it's why the enemy comes against marriage. Because the beauty of the mystery is the husband and the wife represent Christ and the church. And so the enemy comes against Christian marriages, and the divorce rate in the United States of America in the church is 1 out of 2. Because he wants to disrupt the image of Christ and his church. Now, to these godly people, take a look what the Spirit of God warns them. Catch us the foxes, verse 15, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. So to these godly people, this godly guy, this godly girl, the Spirit of God comes in and says, look, catch the foxes, solve your problems, because if you don't, foxes are sly. Foxes, let me explain, they would put a rock wall around their gardens, and foxes would burrow under the wall so that they could get to the grapes and eat them. And they would burrow holes all over the place and cause destruction on the vine. Foxes are sly. They're deceitful. They burrow holes and they try to cause all kinds of problems that get under your skin. And let me tell you what he says. Little foxes. Because every little problem will lead to a big problem if you choose not to deal with the little problem thinking it's not a big deal. It's not our godly guy. He's jumping over mountains and leaping over hills. He's doing everything to solve the problem of their relationship. Verse 16, look what Our Lady decides to do. You see, Our Lady, she says, my beloved is mine, and I'm his, and he feeds his flocks among the lilies. Hey, come, can you come down? Can we talk about this problem? Can you and I just kind of go through what we did? Because it wasn't right. It wasn't the best thing for us to do. And she chooses to ignore the problem. She chooses to walk off into la-la land. Oh, I'm my beloved. My beloved is mine. And she's just thinking about him. Oh, you and your problems. We're in love. I love when premarital couples come to my office and the girl says, we never argue. We just never argue. He's just so wonderful. I just love him. Ooh, look at him. I love him. Ooh, I love him. You know what I tell him? Go fight, come back. Because it's not real. If you haven't had a problem, it's not real. I had a couple come back after I said that, and she turned from, ooh, he's so wonderful, to, I almost torched him. She actually quoted. She goes, I almost torched him. I wanted to light him with gas and torch him. And I go, I wasn't talking about that kind of fight. She decides, I'm going to go off into la-la land. I'm just going to choose to believe the best. I don't want to deal. Now, let me tell you something. The security that he has put in her is beautiful. I'm my beloved. My beloved is mine. I love the fact that she has confidence in the relationship, but he is coming as the spiritual leader and saying, we've got to deal with this lust issue that's going on. Otherwise, it's going to get worse. So she responds in verse 17. Take a look at what she says. Until the day breaks and the shadows flee away, turn, my beloved. Be like a gazelle or a young stag upon the mountains of Bether. Let me explain what she's trying to say here. We're good. We're good. And it's a little early in the morning. I'm going to roll over, go back to bed. My beloved's mine. I just love you. You go deal with your little problem. Just turn. Just go back and run on the problems. If you think there's a problem, you just go and do it. She doesn't want to deal with it. It's a bad decision. And one bad decision leads to another bad decision. Take a look what happens in chapter 3, verse 1. By night on my bed, I sought the one I love. I sought him, but I could not find him. Duh. You told him to go. And now she's confused. You said, turn, go away. And now you say, come back. I'll never forget when my wife was delivering our first child. She asked me to rub her back. So I'm rubbing her back. She has a contraction. She looks at me and she goes, why are you touching me? I'm sorry. I thought you said, don't, just shh. And you know, my wife is the most gentle person in the entire world. But when my wife was in the middle of a contraction and looking at me and going, shh, just shh, and this was her, shh. The joy of the Lord is my strength. And I went to go rub her back. see, now she's lying in bed and she sought him in her bed. This word sought, it's the word desired. I am my beloved and my beloved is mine. I am my beloved and my beloved is mine. I am my beloved and my beloved is mine. I am my beloved and my beloved is mine. She's just thinking about him and she has worked herself up in a tizzy. And now she is looking for him in her bed. That's a problem. That is a huge problem. And she couldn't find him. Praise God, she couldn't find him. Because he left. Listen, lady, you should have responded when he came to you the first time. You should have said, hey, listen, you're right. We've got to deal with this problem. Now, you've got to understand, our couple, they're not yet married. They're kind of working through their issues, trying to understand how to deal with problems. And let me tell you something about conflict. It's good. Conflict is good. You just have to learn how to handle conflict so that when you come to a place of conflict, you will actually resolve it and get stronger. Song of Solomon, chapter 3, verse 2. I will rise now. Well, you should have got up earlier. And I'll go about the city, in the streets, in the squares. I'll seek the one I love. I sought him, but I can't find him. We got a problem. This is early, early in the morning. It's the darkest hours of the night. She is hormonally just worked up. And she's decided not to deal with the lust issue. She decided to go off into la-la land. He wanted to resolve the problem. It's late. It's dark. She's all worked up, and she has gone to go find him. We've got a fox that's burrowed a hole in her heart. We've got a problem. And that's why it's so important for us to solve problems, because the enemy always wants to get in, and he's got three tactics: lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. She's struggling with lust. And she goes looking for her man. But there's a problem. And I want you to write this down. It's point number one. You can understand this. Problems are God's providence for protection. God allows problems in our life because he's trying to protect us from something. Number two, if you're taking note, listen, I want you to write this down. Problems are the pain in life that tell us something is wrong. I had appendicitis. All of a sudden, I was bellowed over in pain. I went to the emergency room. They told me we have to do emergency surgery. They took my appendix out. Let me tell you something. Thank God for the pain, because it told me something was wrong. When you try to avoid the pain of a problem, you are avoiding the opportunity to be healed. Problems are the pain in life that tell us that something is wrong. So she's out searching for her man. She hasn't dealt with this lust issue. And now look at verse 3. The watchmen who go about the city, they found me. And I said, have you seen the one I love? The watchmen. Oh, I love the Lord. Because he always puts protectors in our life. He wants to save us from our own problems. And there's protectors, there's watchmen that he's given us. Listen, prayer. Prayer. It's an opportunity for you to pray. Oh, listen, I already started and said, don't pray late at night. Call on the phone and pray. But I'm talking about the fact that before you even go out on a date, pray with the person. And make prayer a foundation of your relationship. But listen, you also need accountability. Everyone needs accountability. So guys, listen, when you start a relationship and you start getting all hot and heavy with a girl, you need to be able to have another guy that you can call and say, pray with me. And ladies, you the same. Another watchman is scripture memory. And you're in the back seat of the car. And you're looking at, well, I don't know where. And his hand comes around you. And you look at him and say, for the wages of sin is death. Scripture memory is a watchman for us, and worship, coming to Lift on Monday nights with your girlfriend, with your boyfriend, and having the opportunity to worship the Lord God. Let me explain. You don't want to be hot and heavy on the beach and decide to go on a walk by yourselves. That's danger. So this girl, she's out on the street. She's trying to find her man. And take a look at verse 4. Verse 4. Scarcely had I passed them when I found the one I love. She had protectors, but she was impatient. She's caught up in her hormones. She's caught up in her emotions. She doesn't take the time to pray. She leaves the protection. She says, I'm going to go find my man. I can't wait for you guys. What's this prayer accountability thing? It's not good for me. And scarcely have I found him. And take a look at what she does. I held him. That word is I grabbed him. I wouldn't let him go until I had brought him to the house of my mother and into the chamber of her who conceived me. What do you think is in her mind? I'm bringing you to my mama's bedroom where I was conceived. Hello. That doesn't take a lot of interpretation. She has grabbed this guy. She has brought him into her mother's chamber. Now, let me tell you something. That Hebrew word chamber, it also means a man's chest. So you know what she's done? I'm ready. And our guy? He's just going with her. It's late at night, his boundaries are down, and he's just walking with her. Okay, I guess if you're ready, I'm ready. It's like, she's just on the way. Now, this is a PG-13 moment. It is about to go down. Some of you are going, I did not know this was in the Bible. And she says, I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, by the gazelles or by the does of the field, don't stir or awaken love until it pleases. Thank God she was a godly woman. She backs off. Spirit of God convicts her. What am I doing? And maybe she learned from his godly example, because it was just a page ago that he stood up and said the very same thing. You see, maybe just for a moment, she learned through his discipleship. Maybe she realized, it's my turn to do something spiritual. Ladies, let me tell you something. You don't have to submit to ungodliness. If he's taking you down a godly road, get the bat and hit the spiritual ball and say, I'm out of here. I'm done. I'm not going this route. I'm not going this direction. And I'm going to stand up for righteousness' sake, and I'm going to be the woman of God. Would you turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 7? 1 Corinthians chapter 7. See, because of all of this passion and problem in relationship and the lust that exists, if you are a young single man, I want you to stand up. Young single man, I want you to stand up. Young single man, stand up. Thank you. Young single men, you guys are married? If you are a non-married man, stand up. Non-married man, stand up. Perfecto. Now listen, I want you to hear this verse, and when I'm done saying it, I want you to shout amen. Listen. Now concerning the things of which you wrote to me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Amen. Ladies, did you like that? Did you like the way they said that? I don't know if it was as passionate as we hoped it to be, okay? So let's try it one more time. Don't sit down. Here we go. Here we go. I'm going to do it one more time. It is good for a man not to touch a woman.
Amen.
Amen. Ladies, was that better? No? Okay, someone goes, no, that's not good enough. One more time. Here we go, okay? A little bit of zeal, a little bit of effort. Here we go, okay? I'm going to come over to this section. I can't hear you guys, okay? Here we go. It is good for a man not to touch a woman.
Amen.
Thank you, gentlemen. Have your seat. That is a promise of Scripture I want you to name and claim in Jesus' name. It is good for a man not to touch a woman. So let me tell you, knowing that, our couple, in the very next verse, they decide to get married. They're filled with passion. They love each other. It's so different than our culture. Our culture says, let's try it out. Let's see if you and I work. Because women, they'll give sex to get love. And men, they'll give love to get sex. That's our culture. Who in this room will stand up and say, don't awaken love? Let's pray. Father, I do come before you in Jesus' name, and I ask that now your Spirit would move in this place. In Jesus' name, amen.